Well, welcome to the second hour of Authentic News right here on RBN Live, this 8th day of March 2024, where I take your calls. We have three callers, but plenty of open lines. A great time to call into the show. Jim in New Jersey. Jim, give us your thoughts.
This isn't Jim. This is Paul from New Jersey, Mr. Fetzer.
Okay, Paul, we got a Paul, welcome back. I like your calls.
Yeah, I'd like to call about the weight of the soul. Lauren from Ohio called about this last week. So I spent a little time researching into this. What this all came about was there was experiments done by this doctor back in 1907, and his name was Duncan McDougall, right, or McDougall. And what he did is he had only six human subjects, and when they were dying, basically he put them on a special bed, which had a calibrated scale underneath it. And so that's how the testing and the research was done. On six subjects, Jim, only on six. And out of the six subjects, only one lost the 21 grams. You know, which is comes to about 3/4 of an ounce. He did the same experiment on 15 dogs, which he probably poisoned, right, on a scale. And with the dogs, he found no change of weight upon death. Now, I thought about this, and I said, how come this would happen? Why would they lose in the one instance the 21 grams comes to about 3/4 of an ounce of in normal weight, English weight. So it turns out, Jim, that in a day's time, the normal human being exhales about a pound of water. So if you divide that, 16 ounces into 24 hours, generally, you exhale about 3/4 of an ounce of moisture every hour. So what probably happened is, so he probably had these dead people on a scale. You know, nobody just dies all of a sudden. You got to monitor them. It takes a while. You don't really know when they're going to die. And then probably when they first put them on the scale, an hour goes by, and they saw, wow, he lost 3/4 of an ounce. So that, to me, accounts for really what was going on there. It's sloppy research. And what I would love to see done, because I do find this a curious thing anyway, in a novel-like thought, is now that they're euthanizing people in Canada and in the Netherlands, it should be very easy to accurately do these tests today. And, you know, they make these suicide booths, Jim. Did you ever hear about this?
Suicide booths?
Yeah. It's basically when you arrange to be euthanized nowadays, I think they have these up in Canada. They put these in this little enclosed chamber, and they basically gas you inside the chamber with some euthanizing gas. You could use anything, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide. You could use nitrogen. Ideally, for me, when I check out, I want to use laughing gas. Right? That would be a more pleasant and euphoric way to check out. You know,
Paul, I think that's very good. I think that's very good on your part to follow up, and it makes perfect sense exactly as you explain it.
Yeah. So I think, and by the way, if your soul is going to go, let's say, you know how it is, many people attribute, and I've met people who've had near-death experiences, and, I met a fellow who had happened to him, and so they do say, like, when you die, he told me, he went down, like, basically kind of like the tunnel, and it's, a lot of people have the similar phenomenon, and then he went, and God said, no, you're not ready, you're coming back, kind of thing, you're not ready, you're going to go back.
Well, Paul, research has shown that tunnel phenomenon and so forth is a function of oxygen deprivation to the brain. So it also has an objective scientific explanation.
I would agree with that. And also, it's going to be affirmed with your cultural religious views. You know, if you were brought up like back 1,000 years ago when you were a pagan Viking, right, you would probably think Thor is coming to get you and bring you to Valhalla. You know what I mean? As you're dying, because, you know, there's probably, as you're dying, it's to make the dying more pleasant in a sense, you know, like dreams and other things, you know, because the mind, it's an amazing thing, Jim, to think of it that, like, I've had dreams, and in the dream, it's like, I would, you know, you trick yourself in your own dream, and that's how elaborate and fascinating how the human mind is. That you are actually conjuring up this dream and playing tricks on your own mind in your dream, and you're doing it all on your own. And I find that fascinating about the human mind. But anyway, if the soul was to go out into space, why wouldn't it go as just in radiation, as in photons? And as we know, photons and electromagnetic radiation, there's no mass to that. You know, the very faint mass. So if the problem,
the problem with the concept of soul, like that of God, external to space and time and the force, even there's no way to prove it scientifically. What would be the indications of the presence or absence of a soul? This is a form of grasping after straws. I think you did a very nice job of explaining what's going on here with that weight difference purported before and after death. Excellent, Paul. Do you have a final thought?
Yeah, well, one last thing, too. I don't like the whole thought, like, listen, if human beings share the same DNA or 98% of the same DNA as a chimpanzee, which we do, right, then I would assume a chimpanzee would have 98% as much of a soul as I would have. And so that's one of the things I really don't like about the theists out there, that theists are always eager to say every other animal doesn't have a soul, and yet only humans have souls. And here it is. Like, a sperm whale has a brain 3 times bigger than a human being. I would assume they have 3 times a bigger soul. And since God played with dinosaurs for 200 million years, before he invented man, and he's only been playing with man for 1 million years, I would think that indicates that God actually liked playing with dinosaurs a lot more and for a long period of time. And on that note,
nice, Paul. Very good, very good, very good. I have a book that debunks the idea that humans are the only animals with minds by tracing the development of mentality from primitive forms of life through higher forms of life up to the, you know, the mountain gorilla and so forth, most closely related to human beings, where human beings have superior minds. There's no doubt about it. But these other forms of animal life have minds. And by the way, if you want to ask yourself, is there a criterion, a way to tell whether something has a mind? Ask yourself, is it capable of making a mistake? We have, for example, a spider jumping on the cathode ray tube when it sees the image of another spider because it thinks it's real. Well, it's making a mistake, but it's thereby demonstrating it has a mind. Meanwhile, our next caller, Kathleen in Texas, join the conversation, Kathleen.
Hey, Jim. Happy Irish History Month.
Okay.
March is Irish History Month. In honor of that, may I sing a little ditty?
Sure.
Oh, me name is McNamara, I'm the leader of the band. And although we're few in number, we're the greatest in the land. Oh, we play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And at every dead man's funeral, we're the gayest of them all. Oh, the drums go banging, the cymbals clang, and the horns, they blaze away. McCarthy plays the old bazoo, and I've the pipes to play. Oh, Hennessy, Tennessee, tootles the flute, the music is simply grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
Very nice, Kathleen, I enjoyed that. I've sung then, that song before myself. Yeah, go ahead.
And okay, and this is a short little poem, and in with all the talk of getting along and not killing each other and everything. So here's there once were two cats from Kilkenny. Each one thought, there's one cat too many. So they fought and they fit and they boxed and they bit, till accepting their nails and the tips of their tails, instead of two cats, there weren't any.
Yes, yes, nice.
Getting along.
Nice moral. And then, I like it, Kathleen. That was delightful.
Well, thank you.
A final thought.
Yes. Speaking of agnosticism,
sure.
You've probably heard, but in case the listeners haven't, a famous doctor of the church, a mathematician in the 1600s named Pascal. And he was famous for his wager. And so he said, Pascal's wager, he said, believing in God, you have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. And if you don't believe in God, you have nothing to a lot to lose, and nothing to gain.
Yeah, it's a question of the ethics of belief. The British philosopher William Clifford suggested that always and everywhere, you should never believe anything for which you do not have sufficient evidence. Pascal's wager is really, you know, an article of faith, but it is a decision, you know, to believe because you could potentially benefit. But in my opinion, God knows the difference between sincere and insincere belief. And if you're only believing because you think it has a potential benefit, I don't think that's going to endure you to the Almighty, my opinion.
Well, you're already endeared because he loves you. You're one of his children.
Yes. Well, we appreciate that, Kathleen. This is a delightful call. I can't thank you enough. I look forward to future.
Okay, take care.
Thanks. You got it. Bye. Catherine in Virginia, join the conversation. Catherine.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
So, good.
I had seen it, I don't know, years ago, maybe, I don't remember when, or, but then somebody sent me something recently, but I didn't find it, about how so few of the Biden administration took the oath of office.
Yeah.
And did Biden himself take the oath of office?
I believe, yeah, it's the inauguration, remember? That's when he takes the oath of office.
Yeah, I was trying to remember.
He couldn't get away without doing it, but it wasn't the real Joe Biden, you know? I mean, One fraud after another. It's just outrageous.
Right. So, but like none of them, like Garfunkel, you know, Merrick Garland, Janet Yellen, all these people. I don't think did Kamala Harris take the oath of office?
She would have had to. Yes, she was probably the only one in the bunch who's actually a real person taking a real oath.
Right, but.
There's an open question whether she's eligible, you know, for the presidency.
Right,
that's a good question.
Right, and then, like, they might say, oh, the reason that they didn't take it is, you know, maybe they had to put their hand on the Bible or, you know, like some ridiculous thing, or maybe they'll say, oh, we don't believe in swearing oaths. But yet they all swear oaths of allegiance to Israel. Think about that.
I have no doubt their oath is to Israel. It is not to the United States. And sad to say, you know, Cynthia McKinney revealed the pledge.
Mm-hmm.
where new members of Congress are asked to sign a pledge with the interests of Israel ahead of even the interests of the United States, and they sign and they sign and they sign.
Right.
10 years ago, a friend of mine asked me, did I know how many members of the then Congress had not signed the pledge? And when I admitted I did not, he held up one finger of one hand. Catherine, one member of the Congress had refused to sign the pledge.
Yeah, and I'm so glad Cynthia McKinney is still around. And,
she is.
You know, they haven't been able to take her out. I mean, really, it's a good, you know, omen, you know, for the side of truth and justice.
She does not reside in the United States.
Oh, man.
I like Cynthia a lot. She had a conversation with a friend of mine just the other day. So she's alive and well.
But there was something where a Texas judge, I mean, they're not protecting our borders. They're going against the Constitution. And, you know, if you don't have a border, you don't have a country. But there was something where a Hawaii judge went because the Texas judge had upheld the law, and the Hawaii judge overturned the Texas judge who had done the right thing. But on a related note of these illegal aliens, you know, and them emptying out their prisons and mental institutions in other countries and sending them here, you know, like they did, you know, under Castro years ago. There was big protests for that Georgian nursing student who was killed by a Venezuelan illegal immigrant who was kicked out of the country two times and allowed back.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they'll... But there were big demonstrations, you know, mostly white, you know, teenagers, young people, 20-year-olds, college students probably. And, you know, mixed in with them were, you know, quite a few black young people. But I bet the reason for this was because the Venezuelan guy, you know, had some Caucasian. You know, he was like, you know, not completely white. But, you know, and a lot of the crime things, they'll show the picture if the guy is white, if the guy is black and they show the picture, they'll lighten him up. But no protest for that little boy, Hinton, the little boy, the like 4-year-old who rode his tricycle onto the neighbor's lawn, and the black neighbor murdered him. I mean, just so many cases, you know, daycare workers, black daycare workers killing kids, and it's just incredible the amount of, you know, murder of white people by blacks. But I bet you that's the reason why they were able to have protests for this poor girl, was because the guy looked sort of white.
Give us your final thought, Catherine.
Going to hell in a handbasket, but you know, evil loses in the end. But it's just how much will we have to go through, and it doesn't seem it's like you can be like, well, how does God allow these things?
Catherine, thank you. Thank you for a very affecting call. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Layla, join the conversation. Welcome back.
Yes. Hi, Jim. I just had to address the subject of the soul having mass or weight. First of all, from a religious standpoint, that's absurd. Because in the religion, God is not, he's an infinite being that has no mass or weight that could be measured on earth. And secondly, if the soul does have mass or weight on planet Earth, does it weigh the same when it reaches heaven where there's no atmospheric pressure and we don't know what the circumstances are? But secondly, anyone who has ever handled an oxygen tank knows that when it is full, it is more heavy than when it is empty. And that first came to my notice when I was around scuba divers. But then when my brother was on oxygen, I'd be able to lift the tank when it was empty, and I had trouble lifting it when it was full. And then it was explained to me by a respirologist or a pulmonologist that oxygen has weight. And the reason, in fact, I've read research that debunks the notion that it is the departure of the soul that is giving the body less weight. It's actually the oxygen that remains in the lungs. When the person dies, that oxygen is released. Often you can hear it almost like a rattling as a balloon. Yes. when you have a full balloon and then you stretch the opening and you release the gas and it rumbles. It's called the death rattle in some cases. So that is simply the remainder of whatever oxygen is in the lungs. Sometimes
that was,
it's violently. Pardon?
In fact, Layla, that was my response when this issue was first raised. I said it's a difference between a lifeless body without oxygen and an oxygenated body. That was exactly my observation at the time. So I'm
Yeah, that's entirely logical. And in fact, there's a formula. 1,000 liters of oxygen would have a weight of 1,429 grams. So there are 28 grams per ounce. I mean, it's so naive and ridiculous. It's almost like the same notion of some people who say, well, if you sign an affidavit that says you're no longer a U.S. citizen, you're now free. You're only a citizen of the state. Yeah, the feds and all the bullies and butchers and killers amongst the alphabet agencies who do not respect the Constitution are suddenly going to be intimidated by a document that's called an affidavit where you declare your independence. That is just as silly as someone who claims that he or she controls their adult children. Don't send them to public schools where they're going to be exposed to ideas, as though they do not circulate or socialize with other people where they're going to be exposed to the same ideas. Whether if they're timid little children who are easily controlled by a tyrant and they stay home 24 hours a day, you can control what they're exposed to if you don't allow them to use any devices, electronic devices. I mean, that is all such falsehood. I'm tired of hearing it repeated over and over by people who use dictatorial tones and speak with such authority. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You surprised me today, Layla. I was sure you were going to write a comment on Trump receiving the menorah and the Prince of Peace Award for telling the Israelis to finish the job in Gaza, which has appalled me.
Finish the job is equivalent with the final solution, remember? And I have always said, and I'm going to repeat again, to anyone who knows a Jew, tell them. The ones who worked with Hitler, who financed him and elevated him, were the Zionists. The ones who used, they probably shopped around and said, what's the best tactic we can use to implement our plan to take over the world? We've got to say that we're acting on God's orders. We are God's chosen people. We will all convert to Judaism nominally and say that we're Jews. We will work with Adolf Hitler. We will have some people murdered and call it the Holocaust, and we will exaggerate the number, whichever number is convenient at the moment, because I know it has changed throughout my lifetime multiple times. But, they're Zionists, and their only goal is control of material wealth and money. And is Trump interested in money? Can Trump be bought? Let's be honest. So obviously, he has gone over, and Mearsheimer said it. He smiled and said, I wish I could say that one is better than the other, but they're both influenced. Those are not verbatim words. But what he said is, they're both at the service of the Zionist lobby.
Thank you, Layla. That's why I did not say that. Thank you. It's always a pleasure. We'll be right back. Who is it for? All the
lonely people. I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Caller is Wayne from Missouri. Wayne, join the conversation and welcome back.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
I just wanted to make a reference to the speech last night, the State of the Union speech. Whoever it was that gave that speech and whoever it was that wrote the speech, I don't know. But I do know that it was very disquieting to see how eagerly half of the House of Representatives leaped to their feet and clapped furiously whenever the speaker talked about the supposed goals of Vladimir Putin and attributing to Putin this elementary school understanding that he was out to conquer conquer all of Europe, and if we didn't stop him in Ukraine, he would be sweeping through Europe. And that was so, it seems to me, it's hard to believe that the representative of the commander-in-chief, whoever he is, could get up there and make such statements and then have the support of the Democratic Party just eagerly, every phrase was receiving this wild applause. I'm thinking, my word, this is completely misleading to the American people. That's a complete misrepresentation of what's happened in Ukraine. And, you know, Putin, he's just about out of patience with us. I saw a headline there the other day, I think yesterday, that Putin is out of red lines. In other words, what that means to me is he's not going to talk about red lines anymore because we've already crossed all of his red lines, and he feels justified now in taking whatever action he needs to whenever he needs to. I mean, like he feels free to call for the nuclear weapons now, and I also noticed that our F-35 fighter jets have just been certified to carry a nuclear weapon. It's
I think it's the F-16s that they've modified to carry nukes, if I'm not mistaken, Wayne. But your point is impeccable. Look, on the eve of the special military operation, see, he didn't want to call it a war. He didn't want to call it an invasion. It was a special military operation. He explained exactly why he was forced to intervene. And he's right. done so again and again with a conversation with Tucker Carlson. He explained the circumstances.
Right.
Since a coup, which we engineered in 2014, took out the Russia-friendly president and installed a Western puppet, the Ukrainians have been bombarding the Donbass with artillery. Over the years, they'd killed about 2,000 of the residents there who were not ethnic Russians, Russian speakers, friendly to Russia. They have subsequently, of course, voted to become a part of Russia. But the fact is, he intervened at the point they were about to launch an all-out attack on the Donbass and commit the slaughter of those living in the Donbass, like the Israelis are slaughtering the Palestinians in Gaza. I mean, he had no choice. And you're exactly right, Wayne, that this guy who's pretending to be president of the United States can't be any more honest, or should I say, should be so profoundly dishonest. And that was my assessment of the whole State of the Union. It was said just dishonest from beginning to end.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's just a shame to see the American people misled in that fashion. Anyway, I also wanted to comment briefly on the fact that this is Irish History Month, and I guess St. Patrick's Day is coming up here, and I just want to make a comment that St. Patrick was never canonized as a saint. He was simply popularly called a saint because the people of Ireland admired him so much, and they adored his they followed his preaching, and they gave him a great deal of credit for Christianizing Ireland. And the shamrock is the symbol of St. Patrick's mission, I guess, because he supposedly used this Irish shamrock, the three-petaled Irish shamrock, to teach the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to the people, and show how they were three different petals, but they were all connected at the base, and they were all outgrowth of the stem. So I guess he taught the people that God could exist in three persons, and which leads me to comment on the question of faith. Faith is not necessarily blind. I mean, there are lots of scientists who, in pursuing their detailed examination of forms of life, have come to the belief that there is intelligent design behind this this world, and that there must be a creator, and call it God or the oversoul or something. And so it's not just a matter of blind faith when people have faith. Sometimes their faith is grounded in evidence, and sometimes grounded in experience. Like, I guess an extreme example would be the Apostle Paul, who on the road to Damascus was struck blind by what he perceived to be God, and was spoken to by Jesus, according to the Bible. But, I mean, the point is that sometimes people have experiences that they can that confirm it within their heart that that God does exist. So it's not that you can prove it on a debate forum, but people do have personal experiences that confirm or convict them of a religious belief. But anyway.
Your points are impeccable. From a philosophical point of view, you see, my background is as of a philosopher of science, and I deal with these issues about arguments for the existence of God. And I have two recent books that actually deal with evolution, intelligent design, and related issues. One's entitled The Evolution of Intelligence, subtitled Are Humans the Only Animals with Minds? The other is entitled Render Unto Darwin. religious rights crusade against science. I'd be very interested in your reaction to those books, Wayne. I mean, you're utterly sincere and you're completely right. The catch is, from a philosophical point of view, a person's subjective experience, as in, say, Paul on the road, believing he was interacting with God, are not transferable to other persons. In other words, it can be authoritative for the individual who undergoes the experience, but for other people, it's a report. It's like in the law, hearsay, right? You know, it's that sort of thing. Right. I do find the intelligent design arguments of great interest and go out of my way to explain why you have to have a sufficiently sophisticated theory of evolution to understand what's required to explain the data, which includes a fossil record, the geological strata, you know, the similarities in morphology, that birds and lizards and human beings all have the same skeletal structure, except some parts are longer or elongated. It even goes back to the dinosaurs. Just fascinating stuff. I like your call, Wayne. Do you want to add a final thought?
Well, I have four cats, and I'm convinced that cats are intelligent animals. I found out that cats share 90% of our genetic sequence. They're considered 90% similar to humans, so they're not too far behind the chimpanzees.
I discuss all those sorts of things at Animal Mind in my books. You might enjoy The Evolution of Intelligence, especially when I'm a cat guy myself. I've had cats most of my life. At one point, we had three cats at the same time.
Well, so we have something in common. I'll try to get hold of that book.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your call greatly. Thanks very much. Max in New York, join the conversation.
Hey, there's nothing you can sing that can't be sung. There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Yeah. And then he says something to play the game, and then he goes, it's easy.
All you need is love. All you need is love. That's
right,
what makes it easy.
When he says it's easy, that's Kurt Cobain. You can hear Kurt Cobain in that.
All right.
He was a big Beatles fan, so you could hear where he copped that rasp. But you got that, as we're waiting online, America has become a nightmare. Not only has it become a nightmare, it's become a daymare.
Yeah. That's become a human garbage pit under Biden, letting all these riffraff from all over the world come in. He's bribing them, flying them in, outrageous, putting the rest of us at risk by spending our own money improperly and failing to uphold his oath of office. This is the most despicable administration in American history, bar none.
It's really been bad from the beginning and before the beginning. It's just this place has been a slave internment camp, really, of indentured servitude, all kinds of subjection. There was a character named Jean Lafitte. He was a Jewish pirate. Have you heard of him?
Sure.
He ran a sex slave trade. He was the pirate that saved the West, I think. But he had this grand isle off of Louisiana, and he would breed sex slaves, women for sex slaves, whatever would come out of that. But I was going to say about the national debt, I say there is no debt.
Yeah, I have a friend who says the same thing. It's all imaginary.
It is. But people go on about the fiat currency. We continue to use it, so we have to believe it has some value. But I say we don't really have a national debt because think we paid in blood.
We ought to declare a jubilee and just evaporate the debt to hell with it.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we paid in blood with all these wars and all our families and these generations of war. And we went to these wars under the belief that we were doing the right thing. But when we look back, we really weren't, right?
Well,
we
some it's more obvious.
That, some, so
In some cases, it's more obvious than others. I think everyone agrees we should not have been in Vietnam. And if we get dragged into Gaza, that's going to be so repulsive. In fact, that's why we had that airman immolate himself in front of the Israeli embassy. He had orders to go to Israel to kill Palestinians, Max.
Well, are you sure that was real? Because it kind of looked fake to me.
No, it was real. No, that was real. He did. That's good stuff. Good stuff,
well,
Max.
I was going to say one more point. After, you know, there's no debt because we paid in blood from World War One, World War Two, on up through this insanity. But we participate. Can't say we're brainwashed. Participate. You got to stop participating. So yeah. I have a bill for the Jews for our little police action in Germany. $66 trillion. They got to pay up.
A debt the Europeans owe to us, or Germany specifically. Where would Germany get that kind of money?
World has to pay $66 trillion for our police
Jewry.
Action.
Okay.
World Jewry. Max, yes.
Nice. Yeah. Fine. That's all I gotta say. Final thought, Max. Final thought.
No, that's you know. Oh, okay. When did this fall thing happen? When did that start up to? Because once I heard about that, I was like, "Nah, I can't believe that." And then I checked it out in an hour. I was like, "She's telling the truth." You can tell the bone structure of the face completely different. The eye color is different. But see, I lived at that time. They had the Beatles bubblegum cards. I wish I had the stack of those. And then, like, you had the Beatles cartoons.
He died with the face, He died on 9/11, 1966.
Was it? Okay, so 66 up to, what, 1969, I think Peppers came out?
So Pepper was a memorial album where you had the funeral of Paul. And you introduced the one and only Billy Shears, who was his replacement, William Shepherd. He was known as a man of a thousand voices. He's still out there today as Paul McCartney. He actually wrote a book about it. It's called The Memoirs of Billy Shears. You can get it at Amazon.
That's great. I mean, you know, the poor number two. Oh, my God. He got married to the woman, one of the last women. I think she found that he wasn't the real one.
Oh, yeah, Mills, yeah, right.
So after Paul, the original Paul died, they come out with the cartoons, they come out with the yellow submarine, all these things where you're not looking at the real Paul. They're putting on the costumes. And then Paul McCartney has finally got the beard, so you can't really see the scars or whatever.
Right.
I mean, they pulled it off pretty good, but it took about 3 years to groom this guy.
Well, no, actually, it happened in a much shorter period of time. He was a session musician. They knew him. He bore a certain resemblance to Paul. They actually sent him to Africa, some cosmetic surgery to touch him up. He's 4 inches taller. Right. And he has a different shape and size of skull. In my opinion, he has different teeth. Paul had bad teeth and a narrow palate. This guy, Paul, F-A-U-L, has good teeth and a regular palate. A couple of Italian forensic scientists set off to disprove the hypothesis that Paul had been replaced and wound up proving it. So there you have it, Max.
Well, I back you up on the Sandy Hook thing. It was so obvious. We don't have to really get into it. But for shoots and giggles, you might want to play the medical examiner's second part of the interview where he starts taking questions and he starts fumbling all over himself.
I know.
The first part he gets through, he sounds great. But when he starts getting the heat from the questions, and then you look at the cops behind him, they're smirking.
I know. You're right, Max. You're very observant. But he showed up at Uvalde after he allegedly had died. So there he is.
Well, this guy Carter guy, he's fielding these questions and he's like trying not to laugh.
Max, Max, I know I can't talk about that longer because we got other callers here.
Yeah,
not today, but it's all good. It's all good. Good call. Good call. Tom in Florida. Tom, join the conversation. Tom. Tom, are you there? We lost Tom? Okay, let's see. We got Catherine in Virginia. Catherine, you wanted a rebuttal. Go ahead, Catherine.
Hi. I need to rebut what Layla said. Layla, talk about Palestinians, talk about Canada, talk about something that you know about. When Hitler came to power, Judea declared war against Germany.
Yeah, that was already, I think, 1933. It was far earlier.
Right.
It was Judea that declared war on Germany.
Let me talk fast because I know we have little time. So Hitler and the Zionists had a common goal, getting the Jews out of Germany and out of Europe. Hitler wanted them out because he saw what a problem they were. That's all in Mein Kampf, how they just destroy things and destroy Christian culture and the Christian, code of ethics. And he wanted them. He knew there could not be a Christian Europe combined with a Jewish Europe. He because of communism, because of all those reasons, just because they had common goals of getting the Jews out of Europe does not mean they were working together on that aspect of it, but they were not friends, okay?
They were bitter enemies with a
common goal. And please, please, please don't speak about things that you have no knowledge. Go watch the Dennis Wise, call Jim Rizzoli, get on his list, Mr. Chapman. It's his email. I don't remember. Let me just see. Let me get the exact. He lets people call him in the afternoons. It's Jim Rizzoli's BitChute channel. Just BitChute Jim Rizzoli, and he puts his phone number there. Get educated. Stop repeating this dribble.
Catherine, thank you. I have a book which has a section of excellent essays on the Holocaust. The title is inspired by, as a response to my first book, and I suppose nobody died at Sandy Hook. And the title is, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either. It's been banned, but it was banned because the ADL asked Amazon to ban every book that had essays. This has by Thomas Dalton, Robert Forreson, Nicholas Kullerstrom, actually wonderful, wonderful essays. And also a section on Paul versus Paul about the death of Paul Ray McCartney and his replacement. Catherine, thank you. Thank you for reading. Oh, okay. Tom, go ahead. Knock it out of the park, buddy.
Wow, gee whiz, man. You know, golly, oh my, I hope I get a little bit of Max time like that, Max. But listen, man, Paul McCartney, John Lennon, Boo, Ringo, who cares? We're all Jews. I don't know. Listen, here's the reason I called, by the way, President Jim. Let's talk about, by the way, are you offended by what Biden said yesterday in the State of the Union about the illegal aliens? He called them an illegal alien. Marjorie Taylor Greene. Said, why don't you call Lincoln Riley? And he called
this
her
guy's
Lincoln
disgusting.
Riley? Lincoln Riley?
That go ahead.
Lincoln Riley? The guy's calling her, like, what is he thinking about, Abraham Lincoln or something? And then Biden coming out today, Jim, with a TV commercial, an ad about the Republican Party or the Ku Klux Klan. Calling them the Ku Klux Klan.
It's just
this imbecile Biden, this dirty Irish pig, this jackass. This guy's a jackass. He's really tried for treason. And the reason I called, Jim, the main reason I called is, look at this Lakeland Wiley. I want everybody to call that number that I gave out over the months. They should call their congresspeople and demand that family gets paid and every angel mother and father gets $20 million per family for having a loved one murdered by an illegal alien. Let the communist news networks have to pick up on that. And by the way, Jim, I got a hold of this guy, Van Drew, the congressman, and I told him he should run for that Senate seat in New Jersey. Maybe Paul can talk about that. Take that, that Bob Robert Menendez is stepping down. So put you, you put that guy Van Drew in that seat. Pick up that Republican as a Republican seat. Because Van Drew's pretty tough on immigration. We don't need all these Marxist, Bolshevik, communist schmucks running our government. Period. And if you don't talk about it, nothing's going to get done. I don't want to hear about John Lennon and Paul McCartney. I want to talk about my own country. I don't give a damn about Israel. I don't care less about Israel. I want to talk about the United States of America getting invaded, for God's sake.
Yeah.
We've been invaded, and we're talking about other nonsensical stuff. Now, that one woman that calls is those, the last one. She hates white men. I don't want the hell to think about that.
We can't.
I don't want to get started with that, so I go nuts on it. I go crazy when I hear that.
We can't walk and chew gum at the same time. We can object to genocide at the same time we're offended by the invasion, which is our first order of business, Tom. I do agree. We got to protect this nation.
Absolutely, Jim. And these people are not coming here to compliment. They're coming to eat our lunch and take our job, and they don't want to speak your language. They do not want your cultural identity. Guaranteed. Look at South Florida. There's not one white male representing South Florida. So who's the real Indians of South Florida? They don't rep, not one male, white woman or female is representing Dade County Commission. Broward County's halfway now. Hell, there's more people on the, from Canada, the Quebecers, coming into Hollywood, Florida, than there are white people in Broward County anymore. What the hell are you talking about? The whole thing's nuts. We lost our country. The many who went and fought for this country are white, and predominantly, 90%. Look it up. And all we got to do is be subjected by these Jew pigs that want to try to wipe us out, bring us COVID. Where did the COVID come from, Jim? Where did COVID come from? God made COVID? Or did the Chinese and the schmucks make COVID like that in that stinking Fauci? That Fauci should be humming a rope.
It may even have been the DOD, Tom, if you can believe it.
I believe it.
It's very bad. It's very bad. And I'm embarrassed that Trump is still taking credit for Warp Speed. He should be apologizing to the nation. And he's blowing it big time. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. Keith and Tom in Utah. Call in tomorrow, Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. Spend as much time as you can with your family, your friend, the people you love and care about. Because we do not know how much time we have left. And support RBN. Have a great weekend. Thanks for being here.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.